All righty. Let's do this. If you brought your Bible, go ahead and show them. That's good to come in here armed and dangerous. Well, some of y'all are just dangerous, but some of y'all are armed and dangerous. All righty. Very good. While you're looking up at the passage, I want to mention one more time about the study that's going to start next Sunday. I'm going to be working through, the book is called I Am a Church Member. It's by Tom Rainer. And again, if you want a copy of the book, it's just a couple dollars on Amazon or eBay, or if you just Google it, you can find out where to get it. If you got electronic devices, you know, Kindles, Nooks, Etch and Stones, Etch a Sketch, how about that? That'd be good. You can download it from Amazon and wherever else you can download stuff from. It's only if you want it. You don't have to have it. But if you want a copy of the book, that's the book we're going to be working through. It's going to take 6 weeks to do it. I think it's going to be beneficial. I really do. All right, have you found 1 Timothy chapter 3? It is in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 3. What page are you on? Okay. Anybody else? Anybody feel left out? You didn't get to say nothing. I know some of y'all still, when you do this, you kind of look down like you know, you've been told all your life, don't you say a word in church. You keep your mouth shut and hear this preacher saying, yeah, tell me what page you're on. You feel guilty and you kind of look down and, you know, say 13. Yeah. So it's okay. That's all right. During the service, you can open your mouth too if you just want to say amen or oh me or preach it, preacher. I've had the privilege of being in some of the black Baptist churches, black Church of God's, the congregation will preach the preacher to death. They preach back at him just as hard as he preaches at them. I had the privilege of following a guy who was doing that, and man, he was preaching hard. It's a good message. It's great. He's preaching hard. The congregation, hey, man, shout it. Come on, preacher, all this kind of stuff. And I was sitting there scared to death. I never heard that before. And then I finally got up to do my part, and I laid my notes up on their pulpit. And this guy, I don't know if he had a mint in his mouth or something, but he sprayed all over that pulpit up there. And I like to hang on to it. I need a balance, you know, and I'm standing back, not wanting to touch that, you know. So if you want to preach me a little bit, it's okay. Don't preach me to death. It wouldn't take much, I don't think. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 through 13. We are talking today about the qualifications of deacons. Every year about this time, we begin to consider who we're going to be nominating to serve our church as deacons. And right now, our church has 5 active deacons, and each one serves a 3-year term. Our active deacons are Cheryl Garner. Just wave, Cheryl. He's up in the shelf up there. Ross Gould, who is out of town this weekend. Debbie Hendrickson, you wave. Joe Hendrickson, you wave. And some guy named Don McKee. Would you wave? Okay. Do what? Yeah, we know him. We know him. For better, for worse, richer, for poorer. We know him. Yeah. He's actually Don Carroll McKee. We've brought him into the fold, allowed him to carry the Carroll name. There is one who is rotating off this year, Ross Gould. He served his 3-year term. And he gets to be rotated off for a year, and depending on if he'll be voted back in or not. In your bulletin, you have a sample ballot. This is what the ballot's going to look like on the 25th for you to be aware of what it looks like. And you can read through it, and it's got the passages of Scripture that have the qualifications for deacons, and it's a good reminder to look through those things. And if you notice there, it says, please note that the following active deacons are not eligible for nominations. This is not the list you pick from. Okay? And people do that. They'll circle. I want this one and this one. No, it's not the list you pick from. It's the list you can't pick from. You don't select any of those on that list. So anyway, there's a sample ballot. On the 25th, we're going to put real live ballots out. We're going to be nominating new deacons. And the message today is about the role of the deacon. So the question I'm hoping we can answer is, what exactly is a deacon? What is a deacon? I've heard in some churches the deacons are just a bunch of old guys in the church. You know, you got to be old and decrepit before you can serve as a deacon. Bible doesn't really say much about age, but it's not the case. That's not what the Bible says. There's two passages that talk about qualifications of deacons. It's Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, and the passage we're going to look at today, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And I do encourage you to read both of those passages before you make your nominations. And they're both written on the sample ballot. In case you're thinking to yourself, you're not going to be able to remember what they are. It's written down for you. Now, we're not going to look at Acts chapter 6, but in that passage, we read how the first deacons were chosen because the needs of the church were more than the apostles. They were the pastors of the church, more than they could handle. They needed other people to minister physically to those in need. They needed to make sure that nobody fell through the cracks. After the church chose these godly men to serve as deacons, the needs of those that were being neglected were now being met, and the church grew even more. The biblical office of deacon is that of a servant. That's what the word deacon, the Greek word for deacon is diakonos, and originally referred to a servant, someone who waits tables. Deacons mainly serve the church in four ways. They attend to the needs of the church, both physically and spiritually. They are advisors to both the pastor and the church. Many times I send a message out to our deacons and ask them, what do you think? What do you think about this? Sometimes I'll call them up on the phone. What do you think about this? And they're great advisors to me. Another thing a deacon is an example. If someone's looking at what a good Christian life looks like, they ought to be able to point to a deacon and says, that person's living it. I need to live like them. They are also servant leaders. They serve the church. Our deacons serve the church through the Deacon Family Ministry Plan, and every active member and a lot of regular guests are assigned a deacon who will serve them as their ministering deacon. And in case you don't know who your family deacon is, during the next few months as we complete this selection and election process, we're going to make sure you know who your deacon is. It's supposed to be that they send out letters and it says, I am your, you know, however they word it, your family deacon, and if you need me, call on me. Here's my phone number. If after this deacon election you don't get a letter, you let us know. And we'll climb all over your deacon. Say, what are you doing, you sorry dog? Well, no, we won't. We'll just make sure. Actually, we'll make sure you didn't fall through the cracks, that you didn't get assigned a deacon. All right. All of our deacons also serve in a number of other ways. They're involved in teaching. They're involved in maintaining the buildings, heading up different ministries, different missions, and again, being really good advisors to me. Sometimes I need some advising. Sometimes I need some adult supervision, but I need some advising sometimes. In God's Word, we have some basic qualifications for deacons, and our new deacons are going to need to meet them. So today, We're going to look at these qualifications, and we're also going to look at the rewards of faithful ministry as deacons. So today's text again is 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read a little bit at a time, so leave your Bible open or your tablet on or your phone on. As long as your phone and your tablet are open to the Bible, not to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, MeWe. What's another one? The social media platforms. Parlay, that's another one. Bible. Snapchat. Yeah, leave that alone. TikTok. Leave that alone. Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's more stuff on there you can get in trouble with and you can shake a stick at. Just stick it to Bible and leave it there, okay? All righty. This passage really kind of logically breaks down these qualifications into three types or three categories. And I'm glad that it does. It makes it a little easier to preach these things. So, number one, we have personal qualifications for deacons. And we have that in verse 8. So let's look at verse 8 together. And as I always do, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. You follow along there in whatever copy you have. It says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. Okay, and these are personal qualifications. So, the first one listed there, deacons must be reverent. Reverent is dignified or honorable, reputable, worthy of respect. Reverent is not necessarily stuffy, standoffish. It's not what we're talking about. Worthy of respect. And this really is a characteristic that ought to be present in all believers, but especially of our deacons. Our deacons need to be those who have already demonstrated honor and have already gained our respect. Letter B, deacons must not be double-tongued. Double-tongued means saying one thing to one person, something else to somebody else. To be double-tongued is to be inconsistent with our speech. Deacons must be consistent in what they say. A deacon shouldn't talk one way at church and another way at work or wherever they hang out. If it's, you know, Bojangles on weekday mornings or wherever the crowd meets. There shouldn't be a difference in how they speak at one place, how they speak at the other place. Should be consistent. Being double-tongued also brings in the idea of gossiping. And I think a pretty good definition of gossiping is this. It's talking about people instead of with people. If there is something that may be true, but somebody doesn't want shared, don't share it. Don't share it. The last church I was at had brothers. I don't know if they were twins or not, but they were brothers. Old guys, brothers. And I was picking on the music guy at the time. I said, for instance, what if, you know, his name is Bobby Dukes. What if Bobby Dukes, that wasn't his real hair? What if he was wearing a rug? He had a toupee on, you know. It may be true, but do you think Bobby wants everybody to know? If Bobby wants them to know, Bobby will tell them. Okay. And that's the kind of thing is gossiping goes. It may be true, but everybody don't need to know everything. Said that in that sermon, and the guy, one of the brothers, come up to me afterwards. He says, "I just want you to know that I wear a toupee." So I'm not talking about you. And I won't tell nobody. He says everybody knows anyway. But let's not be dumb. We don't need gossiping deacons. From time to time, they get to minister to people that's got problems. By the way, all of us got problems. Just want to let you. You may be thinking you're the only one got problems. Every one of us got problems. Nobody in here is perfect. And we often minister to those people who have problems. And the last thing people need is for their personal, private problems to become public knowledge. So deacons don't need to be the source of gossip anywhere. Letter C says that deacons must not be given to much wine. The words "not given to much wine" means not paying attention to or giving priority to wine. In other words, a person who is not given to wine is one who really gives little thought to drinking. It's not the person when they get off work and it's been hot and man, they just sweat every ounce of moisture out of their body. Their first thought is, man, I need to go home and crack open a cold beer. That's giving thought to alcohol. In fact, not only am I going to crack open one, I'm going to crack open the whole keg. I'm going to drink till I pass out. That's given to much wine. Okay, it's that kind of thing. Scripture really never forbids the use of alcohol, and there's many passages that teach us we're never to be under the influence of alcohol, and we're not to be drunk and certainly not addicted to wine or other alcoholic beverages. You know the best way to keep from being under the influence of alcohol? Don't get started. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. We'll move on. Letter D. Deacons must not be greedy for money. Greedy for money means not having a lust for money and a lust for the things that money can buy. Now, truth of the matter is, everybody needs money. Everybody does. You need it. I need it. Especially if we want to do things like live inside. Have running water, you know, if we want it to be cool in the summer, warm in the winter, we're going to need money. If we want to not walk everywhere we go, we're going to have money. Everybody needs money. But what this is talking about is someone who uses every opportunity that comes up to make more money and more and more and more and more. Somebody asked one of the Rockefellers one day, you know, they're pretty rich people. I think it was Rockefeller one day. And someone asked him, says, at what point financially do you get to where you've got all you need, all you want in the way of money? And this guy's worth billions, and he says, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And a lot of people live that way. I want just a little bit more, more than what I have. When God has given us all that we need to meet our needs. In fact, these people who are greedy for money will sometimes use less than honorable, less than honest means to get it. And that shouldn't be the case. The passage in Acts 6, don't turn to it. But over there we see that the deacons of the early church were assigned with handling funds that were used to feed the poor. They had to handle money. And they had to be men of integrity, not greedy, so they could be trusted. It's important that our deacons can be the kind of people who we can trust with all our money. I don't like handling the church's money. I don't even want to, you know, for someone to give it to me, and I'm going to give it to Cheryl. He usually does our deposits and that kind of thing. I'd rather you give it directly to him. I don't want to be in the loop. You know, I just don't want to handle it. In one church where my dad was at when he was pastoring, he was also the treasurer of the church. I said, Dad, I'd never do that. But my dad was an honorable man. He was a trustworthy man. He did say, though, one of the deacons meeting, business meeting where a fight broke out. Talking about spending a few dollars. And the same old guy would stand up and make the same old threat. Well, if you do that, I'm going to leave this church. I'm going to take my money with it. And my dad said before he could stop himself, He told him, says, you go on and go and take your $2 a week with you. Oh, my dad shouldn't have said that, but everybody in the church was going, yes, yes. Guy kept his mouth shut after that. But anyway, I don't want to handle it. But we need people who can handle it. And our deacons need to be the kind of guy, kind of people who are not greedy for money. That's the personal qualifications. See if I can get done with this on time. Of course, you know what? Time is, it's just an idea. It's just a suggestion. It's kind of like speed limit. It's just a suggestion, And I'll try to get us out on time, whatever that is. Let's look at the spiritual qualifications for deacons. This verse is 9 and 10. And these verses say this: holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. So, letter A, deacons must hold the mystery of the faith. Now, a mystery in Scripture is not something impossible to understand. I know we watch mystery TV shows or read mystery novels or whatever, and you don't know that the butler did it until the last page or the last scene, and it's always hidden from you and you can't figure it out, and everybody makes their best guess. I like it when Don comes over and he says, oh, he did it. Don's usually wrong. In Scripture is a different thing. In Scripture, a mystery, especially the mystery of the faith, is a truth that at one time was hidden and now has been revealed to believers. In times past, they didn't understand this, but now that we've got the whole Word of God, the complete revelation of God, we can understand it. People on before the cross didn't understand how salvation was going to take place, but we're on this side of the cross. We know exactly how it took place. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says this: but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience means that the deacons are to hold the revealed mysteries of the Word of God, the doctrines that are the foundation of our faith, as priceless treasures. They're not only to encourage truth, but they're also to live it out with a pure conscience. In other words, not only do they talk the talk, they walk the walk. Okay? Some of y'all missed that cue. You may have been right when you were dozing off. Missed your opportunity to say something in church again. All right. That's holding the mystery of the faith. Letter B, deacons must be tested. Tested. Before, verse 10 tells us, before we let them serve as deacons, they should first be tested. Now, the idea behind the word tested is like a jeweler testing precious metals or precious stones to see if they're genuine. The Bible doesn't give us a specific test for deacons. If you want to be a CPA certified, you got to pass the CPA exam. If you want to be a teacher, you got to pass the teaching exam. If you want to be a lawyer, you got to pass the bar exam. Everything has these exams that go with it. But there's no written test for deacons. But I believe that prospective deacons are to be tested over a period of time. We've watched how they live for a while. We've seen how they act, how they react for a while. And they seem to meet these qualifications pretty well. So we test them over time. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Now, this doesn't mean that a young man can't serve as a deacon. It says we're not to appoint or ordain anyone as a deacon until we feel confident that they're qualified for the office. This also has to do with choosing someone for the deacon who has a sure foundation in the Word of God. And a foundation in the Word of God can only be gained over time spent in the Word of God. And I want you to notice also that there are no probationary periods. There are no junior deacons and senior deacons. Once they've been proven, once they've proven themselves, once they've been tested, then we're to let them serve as deacons. Letter C. Deacons must be blameless. Boy, here's the one. Anybody in here blameless? Put my hand down. Let me explain the word. To be blameless obviously doesn't mean being sinless. If that were the case, we would never have any deacons. Because the Bible says that all have sinned. Even deacons have sinned. You have, I have, they have. We've all sinned. It really refers back to the previous qualifications. If they're reverent, if they're not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, if they're holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, and if they've been tested over time, then we can consider them blameless as far as we know. That's the kind of thing it's talking about. Not someone who's perfect, not someone who walks on water, but someone who has proven themselves over a period of time. The word blameless means above reproach. There are no obvious flaws that would bring either personal reproach on them or upon the church or upon Christ. Now, that's the spiritual qualifications for deacons. Let's look at number three, the family qualifications for deacons. Verses 11 and 12. It says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. Letter A. A deacon's spouse must have godly characteristics. I give you number one also. That's no extra charge. I'll talk about that in a minute. A deacon's spouse must have godly characteristics. Deacon's spouse, and that is if they're married, they are vital to the deacons in carrying out the duties of their office. It's important. And the first one is this, a deacon's spouse must be reverent. It's the same term found in verse 8. Dignified, honorable, not taking lightly things that are of a serious nature. Reverent. Number two, a deacon's spouse must not be a slanderer. This comes from the Greek word diabolos, or devil. One of the devil's chief characteristics is that he slanders or he makes false accusations. A deacon's spouse must not allow themselves to be used by Satan in this way. When they speak, just like all the rest of us, they should speak the truth in love. Truth. And speak it in love. That's what all of us should do, and that's especially what a deacon's spouse must do. Number three. A deacon's spouse must be temperate. That means having self-control in all things. All things. Number four, a deacon's spouse must be faithful in all things. A deacon's spouse must be trustworthy. From time to time, they're going to hear stuff. They're going to hear information about people or about the church that for the good of the church and good of the people of the church, they're going to have to keep to themselves. As soon as they hear it, not supposed to go to the telephone. Start sharing the good news. We call them prayer requests sometimes in church, don't we? Oh, let me tell you about, this is a prayer request about Sister Ethel. She was caught with another man. And we need to pray for Sister Ethel. Because she is caught with another man. Did you catch that? Caught with another. No, that's not prayer request. That's gossip. That's gossip. They need to be faithful, trustworthy in all things. The next thing that the passage mentions is that the deacons must be the husband of one wife. Now, the meaning of this phrase has been heavily debated. There have been books written on this one phrase. There have been fights over this one phrase. All kinds of people come up with all kinds of way of interpreting this phrase. Some teach that a pastor or a deacon must be married. If they're single, they're disqualified. Just for the record, I'm married. Been married for a little while now. What is this, April, May, June? Will be 44 years. Is that right, baby? She don't know. Okay. A while. Another thing that they think it means is that a deacon must never remarry. If they have been married and for some reason they're no longer married, well, they're not allowed to remarry. Some people say a deacon must not be divorced. I served at a church as a music guy. And I sat in on a couple of the meetings where they're interviewing prospective deacons. And basically the questions came down to two questions. Have you been married before? And do you tithe? That's all they cared about. You've been married before, let's talk about money. And that was all they cared about. And that's what some people think. If you've been divorced, that disqualifies you. You know, I wish there was not divorce, be honest with you. But it happens. I wish I could keep from sinning. But it happens. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. It doesn't necessarily eliminate you from sin. And I think you got to look at reasons why divorce. If you're divorced because you cheated on your spouse, and they got tired of it, and they left you and divorced you, I don't know that you necessarily need to be serving as a deacon. It's my personal opinion. It's not the Word of God. It's my personal opinion. If you beat your wife, and I'm not talking about it cards, Scrabble, you know, they got these little bumper stickers that says, I love my, and got a picture of the cat or the dog, you know. And then you have another one, it's got I, and then it's got the club symbol, you know, in cards, my wife. You know, we don't need somebody like that serving as deacon. The other definition of it is they must not be a bigamist or polygamist, both of them having to do with being legally married to more than one wife at a time. Now, the last description there is pretty much where our church stands. We look at everybody individually. Sometimes we interview them individually. We find out the whys and everything of the situation they might be in. But, you know, if they got two wives running around here, automatically disqualifies them. More could be said. Again, books have been written about it, but that's pretty much, let me say this one more thing. The Greek text literally reads this. It says, let deacons be one woman kind of men. That leads to being devoted to one spouse. And that's the way all of us in our church ought to be. Devoted to our spouse. If we're not yet married, devoted to your cat, whatever the case may be. One of my daughters, who will be nameless, says she does not need a man. She's got a cat. Be devoted to your cat, daughter who will not be named. If they are married, then they need to have healthy marriages. Healthy marriages. Moving on, letter C. Deacons must rule their children and houses well. This qualification is the same as that for pastors in verses 4 and 5. And the testing ground for a deacon is how he ministers to his family. If he is a poor shepherd to his own family, How can he be a good shepherd of God's children? It just doesn't work out that way. Now, in terms of ruling or managing children in houses, I believe that our church has to examine each potential deacon in light of their responsibilities as parents or spouses or stewards of their possession. We look at the whole picture and see if they are ruling their houses and children well. That's the family qualifications. Now, the ruling the children, sometimes our adult children go out and do stupid. You know what I'm talking about? They make stupid decisions. They make foolish decisions. Stupid in our house is the S word. We're not allowed to say it. They make foolish decisions, and because of that, they're living with the consequences of those decisions. We don't have any control over what our adult children do. So let's just say, I don't want to pick on Joe because I pick on him too much. Let's say that Cheryl has a daughter who's just gone crazy. By the way, I don't think you got a daughter that's gone crazy. No, he's shaking his head no. Let's just say that she's gone nuts. She's strung out on drugs and she's sleeping around with everybody she can sleep around with. And she did this as an adult. I don't think we can disqualify Cheryl from serving because of what his adult children do. I think we can disqualify Cheryl for serving if when his children were at home, he didn't raise them right. Know what I'm saying? Enough said. Let's look at the rewards for faithful deacons. The rewards. Verse 13 says, For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, our church has been blessed over the years by the fact that we have had those who have served well as deacons. And I've been here long enough to know that we've had a good crowd come through. Some of them have gone on to meet the Lord. Some of them have gone on to other ministries, other places. But we've had good deacons. My prayer is that those who we select in the next few weeks as deacons will also serve well. This verse tells us of two rewards of faithful deacons. First off, a faithful deacon will receive a good standing. Good standing. The word standing means a step or a grade or a degree. We know that this doesn't refer to some higher standing in God's eyes, because the believer has equal standing before God. I've heard it said that the ground at the foot of the cross is level ground. Not anybody in here stands any higher than anybody else, including your preacher. It's all level ground at the cross. And though this verse may have reference to eternal rewards, I think it primarily refers to an excellent reputation, excellent recognition among the people of God. They're doing it right. They're living the godly life right. And because of that, they have a good reputation. Letter B, faithful deacon will receive great boldness. Boldness is much needed among Christians today. We need Christians who will boldly say the good things that God has done for them. Isn't that true? Anybody disagree with that? I'll take you on. We'll fight. No, we won't. We need to be quick to say the good things that God has done for us. There's a lot of people who need to hear it from us, and they'll listen to us where they won't listen to anybody else. And if we just tell them about how God met our needs and how he met our greatest need, we got forgiveness of sin. They'll listen to us. Great boldness. Great boldness. Now, during May and June, we're going to complete this process of recommending electing deacons. And we'll do the process according to our Constitution. I believe that it is God who calls pastors and deacons. God does this. The church affirms what God is doing. And I believe He's already preparing the hearts of those that we're going to elect. Our responsibility is to make this a matter of prayer. We need to be praying that God would make it clear to each one of us who He wants to serve in this office in our church. Look for those who already demonstrate these characteristics. The same church where I sat through that meeting and interviewing prospective deacons, you know, they asked the same two questions. You been married before? Do you tithe? They asked this one fellow that says, have you been married before? No. Do you tithe? Well, if you elect me as a deacon, I will. That's what he said. In other words, no, I don't tithe, but if you elect me as a deacon, I will. We need to look for people who are already living out these qualifications. Not somebody who says, well, if you elect me as a deacon, I'll be reverent. I'll be honorable. I won't be double-tongued. You know, give up drinking if you elect me as a deacon. No, that's not what we're talking about. Somebody who's already demonstrating these characteristics. When it gets right down to it, these characteristics, though, they're not for deacons only. Have y'all figured that out yet? They're for every believer. Every one of us are supposed to meet those same qualifications. We should all be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. We should all be holding the mystery of the faith, able to pass the test of godly living, be found blameless and not bring reproach on the name of Christ. We should all be temperate and not slanderous and faithful in all things, holding high the sanctity of marriage and ruling our houses and children well. That should be all of us. All of us. Could be that in this going through this sermon that you realize that there are some places in your life where you're not meeting those qualifications, where there's some room for improvement. I know as I look into God's Word, I see, man, it's such a mirror that shines so brightly, and I can see my imperfections. And it may be that this deacon message brought out your imperfections. And listen, don't go out of here saying, that preacher, he tried to hurt my feelings on purpose. No, I'm just preaching God's Word. If your feelings got hurt, take it up with God. Okay? I'll talk to you about it. I'm not saying I won't. But if I preach God's Word and God's Word hurts your feelings, you need to take it up with the guy who wrote the Word. Take it up with God Himself. Don't you blame me. Don't you walk out of here today and say, preacher, he hurt my feelings today. I ain't coming back. Don't you do it. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I will not blame the preacher. Okay, all right. But it could be God's touched your heart through this message, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond. In just a moment, Cheryl's going to play some music softly, and I'm going to ask that we stand reverently, that we begin to pray for ourselves and those around us, that God would have His way in our lives. And if there's something that needs to change, if there's some sin that we're holding on to that we need to give up, if there's a relationship that's been damaged that we need to restore, I pray that you'll take care of that business today. Let's stand together. If I can help you know the Lord or to know Him better, I'm going to be standing down front to do that very thing.